Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Zephaniah. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guests. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps. I will punish the people who rest complacently on their dregs, those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do harm. Their wealth shall be plundered and their houses laid waste. Though they may build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The warrior cries aloud there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring such distress upon people that they shall walk like the blind because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them. On the day of the Lord's wrath and the fire of his passion, the whole earth shall be consumed. For a full and terrible end, he will make all of the inhabitants of the earth. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the psalm responsibly. Lord, you have been our refuge from one generation to another.
Before the mountains were brought forth, from the land and the earth were born, from age to age you are God.
You turn us back to the dust and say, turn back, O children of earth.
For a thousand years in your sight are like yesterday, when it is past and like a watch in the night.
You sweep them away like a dream. They fade away suddenly like the grass.
In the morning it is green and flourishes. In the evening it is dried up and withered.
For we all are consumed by your anger. We are afraid because of your wrath.
Our iniquities you have set before you, and our secret sins in the light of your countenance. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom.
A reading from Thessalonians. Now concerning the times and the seasons, siblings, you do not need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. You are all the children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep at night and those who are drunk get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love and for the helmet of hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up upon other, as indeed you are doing. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the disciples, or continued to say to the disciples, "For it is if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the masters of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have in abundance. But from those who have nothing, even that what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Will you please pray with me? O God, may the words spoken and the words heard be your words, for only when you speak do we have life. Amen. So first I want to say, I bring greetings from my congregation, Church of Our Savior in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. When they heard I was coming back, they were so excited, and they also told me, pick up some tips. Our 100th anniversary here is here in 2025, so get some ideas. I know and recognize many faces out here, and there's plenty of new faces too, which is wonderful to see. I'm Crystal Lee. I grew up in this congregation, like I was telling the children, from the age of 3, I was here and grew up in this place with many wonderful people. And then they supported me as youth director and then to seminary. And I have now been ordained almost 3 years. So I'm so happy to be back with you all here today. And like we said, this is the second time preaching back here. The first time was back Easter Vigil, my first year of seminary. But did you have to bring me back for this text? Really, Pastor David? You couldn't have switched it up a little bit? I was talking to my music director last week about coming here and preaching. She said, "I hope they picked some good text for you to preach on." Like, no, they stuck with the lectionary text, throwing into darkness, gnashing of teeth. It's like, that doesn't sound very celebratory, unless you're talking about gnashing teeth into cake. So we can do that portion with our food afterward. This text, it's one of them where you want to put a question mark at the end of the, "This is the gospel of the Lord? What is happening here?" Particularly, there have been some readings of this text that really add to why I dislike this text. It's preaching that supports capitalism. See, in this story, they were glorified for making more money and not paying attention to how they made that money. It can also has been used to support the prosperity gospel. In simplest terms, that your faith will lead to you having all the money that you need and to good health. Let's not think about what it means if you don't have what you need to survive. But when we look at these readings of the text, they take it out of the larger context, be it the larger context of what is happening around it, of Jesus teaching his disciples. Yeah. And the context of the time and place that the story was told. We take note that when we remove scripture from context and cherry pick where to start and where to end, we can make scripture say whatever we want it to say. And so we put it back into context. This week's text comes right on the heels of last week, where we heard that Jesus was teaching his disciples, those who have been following him from the beginning, saying what the kingdom of heaven is like, and talks about and says a parable of 10 bridesmaids, 5 wise, 5 foolish, that the foolish paid attention and were worried more about running out of oil than on the bridegroom and when he would come. And then goes straight into today's, which means this is also talking about what the kingdom of heaven is like. And so those readings of supporting capitalism and the prosperity gospel, they don't really fit in with the other ways that Jesus has talked and preached about the kingdom of heaven throughout the gospel of Matthew. We also need to take note as we enter this text that parables really shouldn't be read as straight allegories, with each character representing someone or something in the real world. It's not a straight one-for-one correlation. But parables provide space to think in various ways, to come at it in different light, and not to get stuck saying there's only one right way. So let's look at this text in 2 possible ways. The first is the more traditional. It's more the stewardship type reading that could, I guess, maybe fit in with today. And when we read it in this way, we also notice it's not about prosperity, because none of it belongs to the servants. It all goes back and belongs to the master. But we hear that the master gives the 3 servants different amounts. 2 of them use what they've been entrusted to expand what they've been given. And the 3rd goes and buries it, hides it for fear of losing it. And so we can, of course, think about it in money terms. But we can also think about it as our modern understanding of talents, of gifts and skills, of seeing how this plays out, kind of like that children's message. Do we use our gifts imaginatively with daring and insight? Or do we hide our talents, gifts, and skills? The second way that we can read this text is really to turn it on its head. Doesn't that what the kingdom of heaven will be, is to turn everything upside down and right side up? So rather than seeing the parable as praising the first 2 servants, those who turned and made a profit for their master, we can read the story as praising the 3rd servant, the one who hid the money. And so the parable is not so much about what the kingdom of heaven will look like, but what does the world look like now? What is life like here and now? And in what ways do we see the kingdom breaking in? This reading of the text comes from the work of New Testament theologian and professor William Herzog, and it dates back to 1994. This isn't something brand new. But as we look at this way of reading, it's important to note that a talent, it was a hefty sum of money, 15 to 20 years of an average laborer's wage. So the first got 100 years worth of wages, the second 40 years, and the third 20. That's a large sum of money. And the master entrusts these servants, who are his middle men, to oversee the land, the workers, collect the debts, and to keep profits coming in while the master is away. And in that time, people would have recognized that there was an understanding that these servants, they could make a little extra on the side for themselves by charging an extra fee. The only thing that mattered was to make a profit. It didn't matter how. So two of the servants do just what they're told and is expected of them, taking what they have been entrusted with and double them on the backs of the poor. And upon returning and seeing the good work they've done, the master welcomes them into his joy, a further wealth, profit, exploitation. The third, though, opts out of the system of oppression by hiding the money, taking it out of circulation so it can no longer do harm. And that leads to the master being angry. See, there's fun ways to play with these parables. But if we look at both of these ways that we can read and understand this parable, even in their differences of who is praised, we get back to one thing. We get back to discipleship. Remember, Jesus is talking specifically to his disciples. This is towards the end of his ministry. We're in chapter 25. It's not long before his crucifixion and death. So Jesus is talking to his disciples about how to live in the meantime. The meantime between when he leaves and when he comes again. That parousia that he's been talking about, and we spend this lovely time right up to the beginning of Advent talking about. He is spending time talking to his disciples and answering the question, how do you, the disciples, keep going once I am gone? And really for us, how do we live in this world as we wait for Jesus to come again? I mean, and the first way, it's in hearing that we're to use the gifts that we have been entrusted, not to be complacent, not to hide the gifts we've been given, but to roll up our sleeves, to get to work in living love and justice, of finding ways to amplify and multiply the goodness of the world, of investing our gifts, multiplying them for the good God is doing in and through you for the sake of the world. And in the second, we hear that we are called to call out the brokenness in our world, be it exploitative practices in our economic systems or in our healthcare systems, be it calling out injustice, calling genocide what it is, of pointing out the places where people's humanity is ignored and to work to find ways to face the brokenness. It's not enough just to say, oh, there's brokenness right over there. But we are called to live into those places of brokenness. What are we doing? And to see the moments of the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. This story is telling us the costly aspects of discipleship, the costly aspect of grace. Yes, we freely receive grace, God's unconditional love. And because we have received that love, we are called to live that love using what we have been entrusted with, and about breaking away from the ways of being comfortable. So as we walk away from this, we are to think about the ways that we are individually called to use our talents to speak out against the brokenness in the world. I know some are good at public speaking, some are not. Some are good behind the scenes. There are ways to use our gifts. But I think this weekend, as we gather here for the 65th anniversary, we also think about how this congregation already has and how we are going to use the gifts and skills in this community. Because we think back those 65 years ago, where a group of people took a daring step to start a congregation here in Columbia, Missouri, with a mission to share Christ in faith, fellowship, and service. It has been a place where we've noticed the gifts and skills of those around us and lifted them up, which has led to supporting, I think we're at 11 seminarians to be pastors. 65 years. That is amazing. And most recently, this congregation taking the daring step to become a Reconciling in Christ congregation. Part of a growing number of congregations reaching out and truly living in what it means when we say all are welcome. And it's a daring step. Good step. And so we can look back and see the ways that we have used the gifts and skills to take daring, innovative steps in this congregation. And to look forward from here. Where in the next 5, 10, 15, next 65 years, where are the congregation taking bold steps? Where is God leading us to use the gifts and skills found in this place and to the next phase to live God's love in the world? Amen. Amen.
So now I invite Wilson Friermuth forward for a stewardship temple talk.
Good morning. During November, we've been focused on what the weekly scripture readings have to say to us about what's expected of us as good stewards. 2 weeks ago, we focused on how part of good stewardship means supporting God's ministry through our presence in worship, where we can support each other through prayer, praise, and fellowship. Last week, we focused on how good stewardship means supporting God's ministry through presence in daily service in our community and in our daily lives. And today brings us to Jesus' parable of the talents. And Pastor Crystal, I feel your pain. In the story, the master leaves on a trip and calls his three servants to entrust property to their care in his absence. To one he gives 5 talents, to another 2, a third 1. The first two invest their talent shrewdly and double the master's property. The third buries the talent in the ground to keep it safe. And when the master returns, he is pleased with the first two servants and invites them to share in the master's joy. But the third is fired and cast out. Growing up, I hated this story. Some people like taking risks, and others are naturally risk-averse. And as a child, as a preacher's kid growing up in the fishbowl, I was very risk-averse. And I still am, to some extent, even as an adult. So I naturally tended to identify with the third servant, take the safe route. It was hard to process a story in which the message seemed to overtly suggest that if you were risk-averse, if you were timid, you were somehow destined to disappoint and to be excluded. Over the years, as I've studied and thought and talked with others, I've come to understand this story differently. In the story, Jesus emphasizes that the master gave to each of the servants according to their ability. The master entrusted the first with five talents. If those were talents of gold, that would have been several million dollars in today's dollars, an enormous amount, but clearly only a very tiny fraction of what the master owned. Because when the master returns, the master reacts with joy, telling the servant, "I can now trust you with even greater responsibility for even larger amounts." So the master had to have been unconscionably wealthy. Recognizing the third servant's limits, the master entrusted the third servant with only one talent. In a sense, the master had lowered the stakes, and by lowering the stakes, one might even think had given the servant the best possible chance to be successful. And yet the servant's fear of the master was so profound that the servant hid the talent rather than using it. As Pastor Crystal pointed out, in telling the story, it's important for us to remember that Jesus was preparing his disciples for the life and ministry they were about to face following his death, one they would carry out without his daily presence in their lives in human form. The talents are a metaphor for the ministry of the gospel that Christ was entrusting to them, and that Christ entrusts to us today until Christ's return. Like the faithful servants, we are to be present and to engage with and to use and to share those talents, not to hide them. While we wait for the certainty of Christ's return, we are not to be fearful and risk-averse. We are to act boldly. And in this regard, we remember that we have the assurance of God's gift of grace in the forgiveness of our sins. So today, each of us makes and dedicates our promises of support to God's ministry through St. Andrew's. During the offering time, each of us will have an opportunity to come forward and bring our commitment and to place it in the basket. May each of us respond boldly, faithfully, and generously. Amen. Let us pray. God of abundance, you have poured out a large measure of earthly blessings. Our table is richly furnished. Our cup overflows. We live in safety and security. As we make our commitments to support the ministries of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in 2024, teach us to set our hearts on you and not these material blessings. Keep us from becoming captivated by prosperity. Grant us wisdom to use your blessings to your glory and to the service of humankind. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at standrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.